Pacifico is brewed for those who follow their own path, because that can lead to an amazing view of an epic sunset. Pacifico, live life, anchors up. Keep exploring at orderpacifico.com. Discover responsibly. Pacifico Clara Beer, imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
Roger.
Okay, I think you're pulling the wrong one.
Okay, I'm ready to pull it down now. There was still a little bit left in the...
Okay, don't hold the plane so tight.
Okay. Stand by.
Hi, welcome to the podcast. This is how it's going to start.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to Rhyme to Tape Podcast, also known as the Executive Buffet here, with Daddy's big red truck with the tailgate down, ready to rip across large open grassy spaces and get your face melted on demand. If you want more of this quality entertainment featuring you, check me out on twitch.tv/justmynipples.
That's twitch.tv/justmynipples for all kinds of stuff just like this, but different, obviously, because it's, you know, it's different. It's not a podcast. But without any kind of even more
talking around the subject, let's drop right into a fast-moving heater with one of my favorite people around town, and any town that he's in, he's my favorite person in that town. Please welcome my guest and your guest by request, Mr. Mike Burns.
The old blown cable.
Blown cable. We got a blown cable here. Ratchet it down. Put it out of commission.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, I feel the same way about cold brew. But you don't just feel like cold brew, it's like the taste of it, though. You don't, because you know how normal coffee or espresso has like a thickness to it, so you drink it. With cold brew, it's like it's so easy to drink.
Yeah.
That's what makes it dangerous, it's so easy to put it down.
It's smooth.
Yeah, the smoothness of it.
Matt Bronger makes his own cold brew. Like,
as we all do.
But like, that's his like, it's his thing.
Really?
You know, like, yeah. He makes a bottle and he'll bring it to you, trade you.
Oh, so he makes like artisan cold brew.
I'll give him a jar of pickles, you know, like that kind
you
of
swap.
You
make pickles?
I make a lot of pickles.
Are you making fermented pickles or quick pickles?
Quick pickles.
Okay.
Yeah. It's the same. And one of them.
Sort of.
Real pickles are something that science is involved.
Yeah.
And, yeah, I don't want to give something to somebody that I didn't jar properly. And
I've got some pickles in there that I won't even eat that I made. Some real pickles. They're like half sours and they just have sort of a smell. It's kind of like, just that little extra smell of something I don't totally feel comfortable with.
I did. Yeah. I tried to do some garlic in oil with hot pepper.
Right?
And like when I opened it, it just had this, there's something in there that wasn't. And
yeah.
then I went down a rabbit hole on Google of smell research and jarring things, and it was like you get impetigo or something. You know,
yeah,
like
botulism is the big one. Yeah,
it was botulism.
What were you saying about that cold brew though? The special cold brew.
It's just so smooth. It's different.
Yeah.
I just got rid of my Keurig 2 days ago.
Finally. How did you do it in like a grand fashion? Did you smash it?
No, because it still was semi-functional.
Okay.
I had fixed it. It was broken.
Yeah.
And my girlfriend and I both came to the conclusion that Keurig coffee made us feel extra terrible.
It's the most trash thing in the world is Keurig coffee. Something about it. I feel like it's this thing where we're all kind of acting like it's not terrible.
Right.
When really it's just, even the sound.
Keurig.
Keurig.
It's fine when... when it was new and like you'd be on set or in the office and they had the donut shop coffee. And it's just easy to walk in, bing, bang. And but we got to the point where we, A, felt terrible drinking cured coffee, and B, after having, getting spoiled
by
other people's good stuff. So we just bought good stuff in an old-fashioned, you know, Black & Decker stainless steel thing and a grinder. And she made me a cup of coffee on Sunday morning. And
this is last Sunday, like 2 days ago?
This is last 2 days ago. Uh-huh. You would have sworn it was like a parody of a 1970s wife bringing the guy a cup of coffee. I took a sip and big smile, and it has this sheen because the oils get blended up properly. And I said, Melissa, baby, this is a really nice, good cup of coffee. I just, wow, it's really hitting the spot. And I went out on the deck on our patio and drank like half of it, came back in. Hey, seriously, this is really good. You know,
there is something about that. You're like Agent Cooper. Right. Damn good cup of coffee.
Damn good cup of coffee. Wow.
Yeah, that stuff, man, it is something about a really, not just good, but well-timed. The timing of a good cup of coffee, I think, is essential. A lot of times when I ended up doing is trying to squeeze every last drop of the moment out. Like, I'm going to trying to enjoy it so hard that it kind of goes away.
Do you extend yours, your iced coffee? Because I do that. Mm. I'll, like, this iced cup here,
right,
in perfect marketing, you know, not sponsored, of course. Right. Starbucks, that first sip feeling. When I see it, I know what that means, though.
Yeah.
Some days I don't get coffee because, again, jacks me up too much, and then I can't be productive. If I do, like, I wouldn't be able to do something really creative after this.
Yeah, because it basically streamlines you. It's like basically putting a bunch of armor on your body.
Yeah.
And you can't move because you've been armored against emotion.
Right. But if I have a sip.
Yeah.
Like if the lady has a cup of coffee in the morning, I just have like one sip. It's just, ooh, okay, that's enough for me. I'm going to have a LaCroix now. I can't.
Wow.
I need to hydrate.
I do tea first. I always do tea first thing, and then I'll have espresso later. Like I have some Americano.
Yeah.
Espresso and water, or I'll make a little stovepot espresso and have that with a little bit of milk. Like I try not to ever have it after 3, but I find that if you have tea at the beginning of the day, black tea, not like, you know,
black English tea.
Black English breakfast tea.
Yeah.
You have that on an empty stomach. I mean, I talk about this so much on everything I ever do that it's ridiculous at this point, but you get like a high from it that you don't get from coffee. You know how coffee, you
different,
get kind of like a, like you're ready to go into battle kind of thing. You kind of feel like cold and hot at the same time.
Yeah.
If you have like a big 16 to 20 ounce glass of hot, well-steeped black tea, you have that on an empty stomach, you will feel like kind of like this weird euphoria, almost, I liken it to almost like a meditation sort of feeling.
Okay.
It feels very, very zen. And you feel, I don't know, something about it. It's something about it.
Here's what I think you're experiencing, and I've never been able to get anyone to give me a clear answer on this. I'm fine with caffeine.
Yeah.
Like, I've gone through periods where I was a big diet Mountain Dew junkie. I was a Diet Coke guy for a long time.
Oh, dude, me too.
And I had to quit. Like, that doesn't come
Diet
in the house
Coke
anymore.
Is the, well, we'll talk about that later, but that's the chief. That's like the fucking ultimate drug.
Yeah. And it, but it was always a clean high.
Yeah.
A clean caffeine. And I feel the same way about like drugs. You can get that's a dirty drug.
Yeah.
Don't do that. Like, that's a bad high. You don't want,
like, but, buzzy.
Yeah. But then you've got, I feel like coffee is the dirty drug, and some people can handle it, some people can't, but people like you and I prefer a tea. It works better for us.
Yeah.
And you get, what your experience is probably what most people who are hardcore coffee heads, that pleasure that they get. Where,
right.
Where they don't get the depression and the...
yeah, they don't get the fall off, they don't
fog.
Get like the jitter.
I get this fog that I just can't wipe it off with enough Windex.
Yeah, sometimes
can't drink enough
really
water, like you said. You can't get hydrated. It's just, nothing fixes
it. We're talking about this as we're drinking coffee.
It's so good.
Like we're about to go into this thing, the taste of it.
We are like guys outside of an AA meeting talking about like some scotch that we used to drink.
It is funny how much.
But then someone gets
a
flask
thing
out, and then you're in big trouble.
Yeah, that's such a, coffee's like such a big deal at AA, isn't it? It's like
Oh, yeah.
The biggest thing.
Yeah. You know, people have habits.
Yeah.
And you got to fill one with the other. Like, I'm chewing nicotine gum.
Right.
I haven't had a cigarette in, I'm really close to a year.
That's a long time.
Yeah, it was hard. And dude, you've known me for a long time. And like, parties or like, outside of a show, I loved cigarettes.
Me too. I guess I love them a different way.
Mm.
Like, I don't usually smoke them. I smoke them so rarely.
You're so lucky.
Yeah. I mean, I was talking with someone about this the other day. Just how it's like a weird, it's a weird thing. It's not normal that I can do that.
Some people can, some people can't.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm jealous of that. I still, in the morning on occasion, like a Saturday,
yeah,
I'll smell someone in my complex lighting up that first cigarette at like 9, and that's the only time when a cigarette, like, ooh, that with
really?
The coffee, that combo, that 1-2 punch.
Well, a lot of
times speedball really gets you going.
Also, a lot of people have it for pooping, right? It's like a big time.
Yeah.
Like, I got to have my cigarette, my coffee, then I'll take my big old shit.
Yep.
Then we'll hit the road.
That was hard. That was difficult. For a while, I couldn't poop on a normal basis because my routine was completely off, and the gum doesn't do it the same way.
And my dad chewed Nicorette gum for like maybe 2 years.
Oh, I've been chewing it for off and on for probably that long or longer. Really? But
it's hard. It's the hardest habit to break, right?
That's what people say.
I think they're right. It makes sense.
Mm-hmm. And it's worthless. It doesn't do anything for you. It's the dumbest drug.
Yeah.
You get nothing out of it. But I love, like, I chewed tobacco when I was a kid.
Really?
When I played.
Because you grew up in, not Iowa, you grew up in
Michigan.
Michigan, right, mm-hmm. Okay.
And you play Michigan. Baseball, and the older kids chew, and you want to look cool, and then all of a
sudden
you're so addicted immediately. You from Minnesota? You're no stranger to Kodiak and Skoal.
The Skoal. There's actually a band from Minneapolis, this experimental like noise band called Skoal Kodiak. They're fucking great too. They sound like that combination. Like,
that's
real, like,
so good.
Gritty and like, kind of like. Yeah.
It's both. They just named two brands. That'd be like Coke Pepsi.
Coke Pepsi.
Or Coke Pepsi.
Skoal. Oh, yeah. Get some fucking Skoal in there. We're going to go out. We're going fishing. You know about spitters? Is that what they call it? When you're going up? Spitters?
Yeah. Yeah. Your bottle. Your yuck bottle.
Hey, Tom, you got spitters? You got a spitters for me? Like a Sprite can with the top cut off?
Yeah. My backseat of my high school car, my 82 Chevy Celebrity, was filled with
Celebrity
Mountain Dew bottles just topped off and Gatorade bottles.
Ugh.
And the worst is when you'd start to imbibe in alcohol for the first time. You'd be at a party and someone would always take a sip of the wrong one.
Ooh, take an old dipper?
Yeah.
That's nasty.
By accident. Like, you got all these beer cans and you grab the wrong one when you're blurry-eyed and whoops.
Yeah. Mm. Man, I never really did dip at all, ever. I think I tried it one time, but I was like, I can't do this. It made me feel like crazy.
The first time I tried chewing tobacco was like in a Michigan July.
Where in Michigan are we talking about here?
Saginaw.
Saginaw, so that's north. No,
Saginaw is that's the mitten. It's right in the little web there.
Oh, okay, so it's close to Chicago.
Right there. No, opposite side.
Okay, so it's close to Wisconsin.
Saugatuck would be on the west side of the city.
Saugatuck.
Saugatuck. Saugatuck. Vacation town. Saginaw is very different. Saginaw's like Flint. If you're, you know, some places are a little shinier and some places are a little run down, but both GM towns.
Oh, really? Okay.
Very blue collar based.
Yeah.
And I grew up in the city-esque, rougher area. And my parents eventually moved into the township. And when I go home, it's my neighborhood that I grew up in. It's very different than when I was a kid.
Did you see that movie, It Follows?
Yes.
That's got to seem very familiar to you, right? Sort of?
Absolutely. It Follows has a very authentic landscape. When you see those neighborhoods, some houses are good still. Some have the overgrown lawn. You know, it just felt that way.
Yeah, I love that movie because, I mean, I've never really been to Detroit one time. Ever.
No.
And I really thought it was cool. We did one show there, and it was, you know, it was nice. All the people, everything felt cool, interesting about it. It was, like, interesting. The layout's weird, but I really don't have any experience with Michigan at all. I feel like it's one of those states where I just never really been through there, even though it's...
You're from a Michigan, though.
Sort of.
It's
something about Michigan, it's different than Minnesota is so natural and so wild and so, like, sparse where...
Yeah.
Michigan, you have, like... the upper part is crazy wild. It's like the coldest place in America. Mm-hmm. But then you have all these other places that are close to Chicago and close to Detroit and stuff, where it's like it's so much more gritty and urban compared to
some
Minnesota.
Of it is. But then the bulk of Michigan is just kind of lake towns.
Yeah.
And then you have little populations. Like Grand Rapids is very popular.
G-Rap, you mean?
G-Rap.
Yeah.
Grap.
I've been to G-Rap once. Didn't we do some comedy festival there? We
the
same one?
I did not do that festival. They used to have that Gilda fest.
Yeah, I did that one time, and it was like, man, so many of our contemporaries were there. It was one of those things where, you know, a lot of times in comedy, you get something like 3 years after you thought you deserved it kind of thing. Like, I should have been here a long time ago. Right. But then everyone else who is the same as you is there too. So it's like, I'm an idiot.
That's one of those festivals I always thought, you know, I could do this. Like, I'm from Michigan.
Yeah.
Like, you know, I've, like, a lot of my materials based here. They probably, like, and do you remember you'd hear about these festivals, like, when they happen? You'd be like, what is this?
Yeah.
Everyone I know is going, why didn't it, like, no one mentioned this?
God, that happens all the time. That's what I like now, sort of about now, is there's none of that. There's none of, like,
no.
You don't feel like you're missing out on anything.
Well, I've done stand-up in over a year.
Yeah.
So, for me, all of this is, like, yeah, then I already got the drug out of my system.
Oh, you stopped doing it?
Yeah.
Yeah. That makes sense. I mean, I didn't stop doing it, but I definitely have transitioned to like a totally different thing I was interested in. I just realized a while I was like, I'm just not interested in doing like little one-off shows anymore because I don't get anything out of it, you know?
Right. And you have such a nice acting career that at a certain point you have to decide, you know, like where you want to put your time and what's valuable to you, and you don't have to keep grinding forever.
No, because it definitely is a grind. It's also that thing where, you know, if you're hanging out, that's like a young person's thing. If not a young person, it's a person who's new to the first 4 or 5 years of it. And you're just out all the goddamn time.
All the time.
And you're just, it's nonstop.
And, you know, you put your dues in and, like, for me, I'm not getting a Comedy Central special or a Netflix. It's just not happening.
Even if you did get it, no one would know but you.
That's
the thing about a lot of that stuff.
Yeah.
It's like you can have a comedy special now and no one knows but you and the people you told about it.
Mm-hmm.
It's like, because I don't fucking, who sees every, no one watches.
So many.
Maybe the extreme comedy fans who watch everything and like everything, which they're wrong about.
Yeah.
I don't know what it's like. Yeah, there just isn't the same stuff. Doesn't have the same weight like it used to.
And your fans, like
your fans,
who
right?
Who are
yeah.
already going to watch it anyway?
Exactly. Yeah, that stuff is it's changed so much. It's ridiculous, but yeah, man.
I'd like to see what happens after our current times.
Yeah.
Like, are people going to get lazier and do more Zoom? Things like is this going to carry over?
You mean like carry over in terms of performing live?
Just in general, because podcasts are like what we're doing now.
Yeah.
It's lovely to sit outside, spaced safely,
right.
and this is great. But everyone doesn't have that or want to make that effort.
Yeah,
and I feel like some people. Part of the problem with podcasts was. Just like a stand-up show is always booking it, getting someone to come over, getting someone, and then they cancel. And comedians in Los Angeles cancel all the time.
Everything.
I'm shocked I'm here right now.
Yeah. I was like, I'm so used to people be canceling last minute now. I just sort of like, okay, well, I'll go piss in the corner for a little bit or something like that.
You're right.
Yeah.
Like one thing could have went wrong and I couldn't, like I was at the gas station putting air in my bike tires. And the air pump wasn't working
really?
For him. If that would have, I was already, I don't know, a half mile from home. Like, I would have had to walk my bike home and then find another gas station. And then at a certain point, it would have become so frustrating. I was just like, Johnny, I'm sorry.
I'm sorry, but this is an issue with air and tires.
I can't get air into my bike tires.
I do think that there definitely is a lot of stuff that people used to be like, think was important, but now it's like, you can't do it, so your job either just doesn't exist or, you can work from home. No problem, you can work from home.
So many people have learned. Why was I driving into work?
Oh, there's so many things that I've only had a few writing jobs, but I had one that was like deep in West Hollywood, and I lived, you know, like Frogtown or something, like way, way east. And the drive, it took me like an hour to get there.
It's hard.
And every time we'd go, I'd be there for like 4 hours.
Mm-hmm.
Like, what the fuck are we meeting about? We don't do anything
right.
at all. We're here together for what reason exactly?
Writers'
There's no
rooms.
Purpose whatsoever to be together.
They're just...
No reason.
Writers' rooms are filled with a lot of people who don't like to be at home, don't like their wife or their husband, and want to burn off the day.
Yeah.
And want to stay late and don't and play Nerf basketball half the day. And that's been my experience.
Yeah.
We could get all of this done in 3 hours.
Or we could just bang it out.
We could just bang it out yeah. and go home. You know? I like being at home. I want to go do other stuff.
Yeah. It's like you have to fight that thing. There's also that weird sort of a control element where they want to have everyone there because they want to show, we want to see that you're committed to this. And we want you to be able to monitor your productivity or what you're doing to make sure everything's, you know, we're on track kind of thing. It's almost
sure.
like a control, like a top-down control thing.
And I get it, like, when... I think 2 days a week, 1 day a week, check
yeah.
in. Like,
yes.
Everyone, while we're here, shut the fuck up and, like, let's get this done and focus. Focus up, everyone.
Yeah.
We don't need to play some Twitter game for 5 minutes. You know, I had a job in Culver City for almost 2 years, and I was driving from Los Feliz.
That's an hour drive, almost.
Which was, it was an hour or more in the morning.
Especially when, yeah, peak traffic.
At night was... an hour and a half to 2 hours some days.
Jesus fucking
Christ.
Every day,
5 days a week for almost, for like a year and a half.
What was that show?
It was a digital company.
Oh, nice.
And then after that company folded, I got hired to do a job that they had for WWE.
Okay.
And and they, you know, they had a license to do stop motion.
Yeah.
So I did this, I wrote this stop motion animation series for them. And in this time, I said, look, I'm not coming in. I'll come in once a week. And really had to, like, that was the first time I ever divaed up and said,
yeah.
absolutely not. I know what's going to go on. I've come in for 4 meetings thus, you know, so far, and half the day is lunch. And it's just spitballing ideas.
It's nothing.
I don't need this to justify your job, to mm-hmm. like the other producers' jobs. I'm the head writer. It's my show. Tell me what to write. I'll put on my headphones at home with a coffee and my underpants.
And I'll get it fucking done.
And I'll get it done. And I don't have to spend literally 3 hours of my day in the car.
Yeah.
That's a, what a waste. What a colossal waste.
The idea of collaboration in that terms like that is so incredibly overrated. And I only recently learned about it like maybe like last year. When I was working on Duncan's show on Netflix, the Midnight Gospel show,
mm-hmm.
like I wrote on that a little bit, and they had us come in like once a week for 3 hours. And we just sat around, banged a bunch of stuff out, and the rest of it was work on your own. Or it was like, okay, we'll take it from here. Thank you.
Right.
Thank you for your contribution.
Right.
And it felt like the right thing. It felt great because you weren't diddling around all this goddamn time. It was just... We get in here, we do what we have to do together, and the rest of it, you work alone because that's how everyone does things. The idea of, like, this weird, like, the whole collaboration thing. Even people who are, like, I don't have, like, a hardcore writing partner, but everything I've read about that is, like, the idea is you work independently but together. Like,
mm-hmm.
I write this, and I send it to you, then you write... add on to that and send it back. It's not like this, you're not sitting on there together. Like,
right.
Like left. I use my left hand on the keyboard and you use your right hand. Like,
and you
it's
just,
not the, what it is.
There's no room to breathe with your own
yeah.
ideas that way. I love that. That process is my absolute
totally.
Favorite. We have a shared final draft doc.
Right.
I write a couple pages. You go in, you look at those 2 pages. You're like, I want to change this, add
mm-hmm.
this joke, send it back, and then add on 2 pages. You know, and it's just that. It works.
Right.
It's so much smoother. I have a, I'm writing a screenplay with a guy now, partner in Bronger, and we meet for an hour twice a week on Zoom or
nice.
On FaceTime.
Yeah,
and that's it. But it goes all we do for that hour is plow stuff and get chunks done,
mm-hmm.
and it takes. What if it was a job? This would be like 40 hours a week.
Yeah,
that we boil down into 2.
The nice thing about it too is you guys hold each other accountable. So it's like, because I'm writing something right now, and it's so fucking hard because I'm writing it on my own. So it's like I have no real true accountability. You know what I mean?
Yeah. That's why I like I do like working with a partner, but separately, because, oh, shit, I'm letting him down or wasting his time or vice versa.
Yeah, totally.
But, like, I have all kinds of my own personal scripts that are just...
You're just sitting there in stasis and limbo?
5 pages in, 17 in, forgot I even wrote that one.
Oh, that idea.
That was great.
God, I drank so much goddamn tea. I'm going to pause it real quick. I'm going to go piss.
Yeah.
Are we back? Yeah, we're back. Sweet.
And we're back.
That's one of my favorite things to say is, and we're back.
I do it. I do it on my show every time after the song, the intro song.
What's your show again?
Power Moves.
Power
with
Moves,
Mike
right?
Burns. Yeah.
Power Moves is something as a moniker you've used for a lot of things, right? Isn't that the name of the Carl Wiesen show too?
The Carl Wellzien book. The Comedy Central pilot, both Power Moves.
Right.
It made sense to just. Keep the brand.
What is that? What is the basis of that?
It is.
I feel like I know, but I want to hear you explain.
Yeah, I would say it is a heightened. I don't want to say morning show because I don't want that stamp on it. But I sift through all of the stupidest news stories and crimes that I can find that week. I pick 3 to 4, and just. Destroy them, just completely dissect,
right,
and beat on them, and then the rest of the show, that's the bulk, and then the rest of the show is filled out with food talk and music talk, movies, that kind of thing.
Right,
it's like woke man show.
Okay,
you know, it's
right,
it's still that, except for I have a surprisingly large amount of women listeners also.
That's
that
cool.
Yeah. And I think the whole point of it was to prove that that type of kind of bluish, jockey type humor is doesn't have to be mean or offensive to people. It can you can just beat on stupid people without offending others.
It's more of like a tone.
It is more of a tone. Because
I always this word popped in my head today. I think I heard you say it first. Is the word rhythm mags.
Rhythm mags.
Did you ever say that?
I could.
Do you know what that means?
No.
Like rhythm magazines? Like a rhythm mag?
No.
I swear to God, I heard you do it on a stand-up bit like 8 years ago.
That's very possible. That could be a Canaan thing also.
It might have been. I don't know. I feel like it might have been when you were doing that bit where you talk about like wearing sweatpants and going on the... Stairmaster.
That I forgot about that character.
That's one of my favorite bits of all time. I feel like that's one of those things where it's you could not steal it, and it's unexplainable.
Right,
so it exists only in the moment. And if you were to tell someone what you saw, you'd be like, "Well, it's a guy talking about like a very specific sort of tone of the '80s, like a sort of a creepy, horny guy,
a horny homophobic guy,
right?
Who, only talked about homoerotic things."
Right.
So it's just a complete contradiction. And the whole point of that character was to just destroy people.
Oh, man, it was so good.
Jock locker room culture.
Yeah. How ironic it is. Like, if you are that way, you're basically fully the thing that you supposedly hate, when actually you hate it because you are it and you can't be it.
Right.
So like, oh, I want to be gay, but I can't be gay because I don't know if my boys are gay.
I don't know if they want to bro down that way.
God, I want to take a shit with Mike.
I
want to shit with him.
Shit in his mouth.
God, I want to watch the shit come out of his butthole.
I don't know if I like it yet, but I got to see it first.
Oh, I fucking hate these gays, but I want to see your fucking shit come out of your butt.
Come on, just work out with me. Work out with me. Come on.
I can't wait for 2 years from now that to be taken completely out of context.
Right.
Imagine seeing a clip on the internet of me saying that.
There's so much stuff that...
Oh, now it's over.
You just have to trust at a certain point. Like, look, everyone who knows me knows I'm a, like, anything out of context, there would be a smallish army of people. Like, if you had something, I would be like, whoa, that's not, no one believes this.
Totally. It's just that crazy thing. It's sort of like with that thing, a version of it with how it happened with, what's his name, Shane Gillis? Shane Gillis, the guy who got hired on SNL?
Yeah.
Like, I remember first watching that clip thinking, like, oh, that's terrible. And then I watched it in context. It's like, oh, he's making fun of that person who would say that. He's doing a character.
Yeah.
I mean, I don't know.
It's called an act out is what it is. Like, he anyone said has an
He wasn't doing
act
a
out.
Voice, though, so you didn't detect it. You know what I mean?
Right.
I was just like, oh, God. These crows are like, stop talking about that. Stop it. Stop it now.
It's I don't like it.
Dude, wouldn't it be great to have a bunch of crows that just follow you around? Anytime you say something you shouldn't say, they're like, stop it.
That's what Twitter is.
Yeah. Oh, God. Yeah. Some Twitter of the brain, like biological Twitter.
I was talking about, I forget who it was. Yesterday about how no one ever goes on Twitter and then afterwards thinks, oh, I'm glad I did that. Well, I feel great. It's the same thing as smoking or like it's such a bad habit.
It really is. It's become just I've had a little bit of a rebound with it because I decided I just think about so much now what I'm going to post. And I'm like, oh, is this am I being patently absurd and funny?
Yeah.
If I'm not being super stupid, then I'm like, this has no business here unless it's just like the dumbest thing to say, like talk about like something really silly and absurd. Otherwise, I feel like I just, you know what I mean? It feels like feels bad. It feels like that's not where I want to be. It's not what I'm interested in.
Right. There's a lot of people who enjoy that and revel in the fighting and the bickering.
Oh.
And I'll get. I'll get a trigger. I'll get a, is that what they call it? You get a trigger, and I'll be like, I'm putting this dude on blast to all my followers who also believe the same thing.
It's like that thing, you ever play that video game Metal Gear Solid?
Yeah.
You know when you get found, that's an alert sound that goes, ching, ching, when they see you?
Yeah.
And you go, it scares the shit out of you?
Right.
It's that. It's that weird, like, back of the neck, like, thing. That's what I get sometimes. Yeah, you put someone on blast.
You feel bad about it too. Like I'll feel bad after you fight with someone. Like, why did I? Like, I don't. I'm not this guy. I don't want to. I don't want to scream at people.
Yeah,
and it's a tough choice. Like, I don't touch any politics or, that sort of thing whatsoever on my show because I don't think people come to listen to my show for that.
They come for the opposite.
And then you have, and then you'll still take shit for that from other people like, well, you have a responsibility to address this. Like, I'm not good at it.
Yeah.
Like, I don't play professional baseball because I'm not good at it. I like making dumb, absurd statements and,
totally.
And burning down trash behavior. And that's what I'm there for. And that's what people come to listen to.
Yeah, and the idea that you have any responsibility for stuff like that is ridiculous. It's also like, who are you, someone I don't know, to tell me I should be doing something with my life? Like, if I want to have fun, that should never be something where it's like vilified. It should never be like, oh, he's having too much joy over there.
Could
How dare
you?
You
could die tomorrow, and you gotta still enjoy your life.
Like, as much as humanly possible. I think now it's even more important just to do stuff that has nothing to do with politics at all. Just to be like, oh, this is just a dumb fart spray that we're doing. It's a total fart spray shit talk. Who gives
shit
a fuck?
Shit show.
Just
with Johnny
absurdity.
Pemberton.
Yeah, shit show.
But that's like, the world needs that. There's value.
Oh, yeah.
There's value for it. You can't always be completely stressed. And again, people do political commentary head and shoulders above anything I could do. I don't want to speak for yourself. Maybe you're smoking it on the political tip.
Oh,
on
I
the
don't
down
think
low.
I am. I was a little bit, but I think I'm, I don't know. I always get exhausted really fast with it because I start to look at it from a further distance away and just realize how ridiculous it is. Like it's almost like a little bit of a little grind you're doing. You're grinding something for what? When really you want to just float. You don't want to, like, paddle.
Colossal waste of time at a certain point. Because, again, I'm not really doing anything that's changing any.
Yeah.
And you'll find yourself in a rabbit hole that you've been looking up
whatever political thing that made you mad. And now, like, I just spent 2 hours arguing with someone I don't know for no reason. And nothing was accomplished. And I could have done something that would have benefited other people with a smile instead, which is my essential job, is being a clown.
Yeah. It's all that stuff to me always is just a form of procrastination, or like, I guess you could call it resistance, right? The idea of you're creating resistance. So it's something to occupy your brain so you don't have to actually work on the thing that you care about, because the thing you care about working on is so difficult that you're scared you might fail at it. Mm-hmm. So why not get embroiled in a Twitter battle for 3 hours with some person with 13 followers and an American flag over their face?
Right.
That's the best part. You get like pissed off at someone who has almost no consequence in the world online, or maybe isn't even a real person.
Right.
Maybe is not real. Maybe it's like some fucking like a guy who's charged with 100 accounts to seed dissent, and who even fucking knows.
And that's what they want.
Yeah.
You know, and they win. They immediately win when nothing was accomplished. They wasted your time.
Freedom haters.
Freedom haters.
We got these freedom haters. I remember years ago, I was in college. I think it was like, I went to visit my friend in Colorado, and they had a big stack of these newspapers right outside the front door of their hallway of their apartment.
Yeah.
They've been sitting there forever. Every time you go on and out, you'd see this one on top. It was George Bush that said, terrorist sugar cards. I just think about it all the time. Sugar cards, like how you would say it. Sugar cards. Osama bin Laden, sugar cards. Sugar cards.
Just him
saying sugar cards.
No one knows what it means. Yeah. No one knows.
Okay, isn't that great how much we've missed that guy, old GW?
It's incredible. It's
incredible
how far things have gone.
To miss that guy. Man, just that guy the folksy wisdom.
That guy was great in retrospect. You know, like, that's like, sure, there's a lot of political things, again, that... And see, now look what we've been sucked in. We've been sucked into political commentary.
But at least we're talking about how much we miss old GW.
If you didn't know anything about him politically or personally, and you just met him, he'd probably be really fun to talk to, and you wouldn't hate his guts, and he'd be funny. And
if he walked in right now, we would just be like, we'd have the world's greatest podcast. He'd offer us a beer, and he'd be, no, I'm not, you know, I don't drink, can't handle anymore, but you guys.
Liver shots.
Yeah. Yeah, I'm gonna hook you guys up. I'm gonna show you how to shotgun, all right, guys?
Yeah.
Some shit like that. You'd just be, any president, you can't not. I mean, maybe Trump's the only one you might have trouble liking, I bet, in person.
I bet you would hate his guts so much, unless you were leaned towards that. Yeah. He would be funny if he.
Oh, he's funny, all right.
He would be funny. To laugh at. Mm-hmm. You know, you would love that guy at a party.
Yeah.
Because he would suck, and he'd be irritating to people, and you could just kind of kick back and be like, oh, look at this.
Watch this.
That Don dude's going to go talk to this guy. He's sidling up.
Do you like this crab dip? I don't. It's not very good crab dip.
He's the guy that would suck someone into a conversation and ruin their entire evening for
fully
2 hours.
He snailed them out hard. You ever use the expression snail?
No.
It's from Always Sunny in Philadelphia. There's an episode
Snail
where,
Trail?
Well, it's...
yeah, snail.
Marilyn Rice Gubb's character. They
dump the salt on her.
Snail. I think about it. It's such a perfect expression to describe someone who's like, you know, corners you, but you kind of can't get out of them. Like, they're snailing you. You're kind of... Yeah. I mean, you see it happen a lot on like call-in radio shows. You get snails going in. Any type of thing where a person... Like a member of the public has to interact with someone who is more so than public, like a public figure.
Mm-hmm.
They get snailed hard a lot of times by someone who just is like, so my brother's been living there for 14 years, and he's been following you for a long time. And I always found when we parked the car, then we'd find out we'd go outside, and then if you ask me a question, and then there's an idea that where if you look at the sun and you don't look at it, you look through your eyelids, you look at the sun, because my brother would always tell me that we'd be parked out there. And so my question is, do you think there's
I want to look at my phone so bad.
Exactly. It's that thing where you're just like, you're just trying to fucking.
Oh no, that chick I wanted to talk to all night, she's leaving. Oh no. Oh no. No. No.
Uh-huh. Oh, the dip's all gone. Oh, the crab dip's gone.
The crab dip.
Your drink is watered down, ooh, just chips of ice. You've got like a watered down half inch of vodka left that you got to just nurse until this guy's story is done. Never ends.
There's been a lot less of that nowadays, though.
I feel
a lot less.
You ever go when you do a show? Sometimes you'll come out, and I feel like it's almost selfish. Like there'll be several people want to talk to you for a second. Yeah. And be like, hey, good set, or like, I wanted to come out and see you for a long time, what have you, and like one dude will take it upon himself, like there's no one else here, and that's not to be rude to someone like that, but they'll drag it for like snail it. They'll snail you for 20 minutes,
hard.
And then you know you're left empty inside.
I really have. I've been on a long, long streak of anti-snailing, pretty hardcore. Like just where I just move. As long as you keep moving, I feel like physically, that's how you stop the snail.
Yeah.
You basically just be like, oh my god, hey, great. You just like keep going. You keep moving physically, and the snail typically does as a snail does. It's not very fast, and so they don't want to catch up. And if they try to stop you, you'd be like, oh, I'm sorry. Oh my god, thank you so much. You just keep.
I'll talk to you later.
Yeah, talk to you later. Okay, cool. Oh, great. Oh, cool. Awesome. Yes, great.
And that's not even just. I don't even mean that just for a stranger that approaches you. You have to do it to your own friends sometimes.
Oh yeah.
Sometimes they're ramped up a little much.
The Irish goodbye.
Mm-hmm. Are you a fan of the Irish goodbye?
Yes, I am a fan. I kind of do it on and off, but. I think it's what it's hard to do. You either have to do it like you have to make the decision really quick and just do it, or you have to. It's hard to do. It's hard to do half. You can't do a half measure. You just got to fucking do it or not do it.
And then I like to do the Irish goodbye and then hit them with the text in the Uber, the Lyft on the way home. Had to split. Car showed up. Mm-hmm. Great party. Good to see you.
Yeah.
And your real, like, your close friends do not give a fuck if you do that. I've got buddies that always Irish goodbye, and you just know. You look around, they're not there for 5 minutes. It's been too long to take a potty break.
Exactly.
That dude is gone, and I'll see him tomorrow.
Yeah, there's that. There's another way you can do it, I guess, where it's just what happens to me a lot of times is, this is all, like, talking about a different world, basically, but that thing where you feel. I get start to get nervous if I feel like something's dwindling down. I'm like, I gotta get out of here fast, because if I'm one of the last few people there, that's when shit gets bad and hard to leave. You know what I mean? Because you gotta leave when you've got anonymity on your side, when like the herd is still thick enough to slip out.
Right.
But if you just wait, sometimes it can be a 10-minute window. Where, especially, it's a big thing on Zoom calls now. Like I had a friend's surprise Zoom birthday.
Yeah.
And first, there was, like, the first guy who left. It's probably, like, maybe 15 people in there. First guy leaves. Second guy leaves. And then it's like, okay. Everyone's like, okay, it's time to go. We all know it's time to go.
Mm-hmm.
But it's just, who's going to say it?
Right. You got to get out in that top 33%.
You do.
The early 33%. You want to be, like you said, like the third or fourth person to leave when there's still like five or six left.
Yeah.
That's the sweet spot, because other people have left. You also have to leave, so you're not a bad guy. You have something. You got to make dinner, etc. You can only be there forever. And if you wait until the end and you don't just dip out really quickly, I got to split. Love you guys. Click. You get sucked into the long goodbye.
Oh.
Okay, good to see you. Good to see you. Nice to meet you. This.
Oh, this one more thing. Mm. Oh, one more thing. And then you're just in this weird netherworld. Sometimes after those calls nowadays, I will end the Zoom and I will stand up and scream. I'll just scream at the top of my lungs and like shake and be like, oh my God. I thought I was going to fucking die.
Trapped.
Yeah, because it feels like something about the whole idea of you're stuck, you're sitting, you're interfacing with people who you care about, and then once you're done, if you're just like, something about that is so unnatural, that whole like stuck in that Zoom thing, you know?
At home. You're trapped in your own home.
Yes.
That's strange. That's a different sensation. You can't Irish goodbye to your own house. You know, let's just... It's really bothersome when you feel to feel a held hostage,
yeah,
by a screen, because you can't figure out the words to say. I can't even explain it. You can't, there's no way to properly get out of it other than having a heart out set early.
You got to have the heart out.
Got to have a heart out.
Yeah, you got to be hungry for dinner.
That usually is what it is, though, for me, because it's you'll have like a 5 o'clock thing or something, and then you didn't eat beforehand, and you start to get drunk is a problem if everyone's drinking.
That's a big thing.
I have seen people get annihilated on Zoom calls.
I saw one time
Zoom
and it was
Zoom party, Zoom hangs.
It was good. It was like so drunk. It was comically drunk.
Mm-hmm.
It was pretty good.
And everyone knows the drunk guy. It's not like a party where someone can kind of blend in and one guy's a little. It's everyone is everyone.
That book's really good. I find that book's really good. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Oh, it's tortelloni.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And the eyes get half closed.
Yeah.
A lot of just, you see him kind of half nod off. Mm. Like someone's got to get this guy out of here. Who's gonna kick out the drunk guy from the Zoom call?
Blast him out. I've definitely been drinking more for sure the last, you know, few months.
Yeah. Have you gotten to the point where you're bored of it? Like in the initial, because you've got a nice like setup where it's you're not trapped. You can hang out here, and it was probably fun for you for the first couple months.
It was.
I have a balcony that looks off, and it's quiet, and I'm tucked away. Like I have this silence that you have at your home, and it was lovely. I'm like, I don't hate this. I get a 6-pack IPAs and
totally
kick it at night, and then I finally got to the point where I had to, like, I need to go on some sort of diet, and like these shorts in particular started to get snug.
Oh, really? Wow.
And that means that all my other pants are all the same size.
Yeah.
I'm going to have to get new pants. And I said, no, this has to stop.
See, I did the opposite. I started working out a ton in the beginning of it. Like, I was working out, like, just a maddening amount.
Yeah.
I think I lost a bunch of weight. Uh-huh. Not a bunch of weight, but, like, enough. I think it wasn't a good amount of weight. But then I stopped that. Now I'm kind of like a regular thing. But the thing I started doing was making cocktails.
Mm-hmm.
I've never been a liquor drinker ever in my entire life. I actually would like always, if someone would buy me a shot, I would just say, no, thanks. I would not drink it because I just hated drinking liquor. And I started watching these how to make cocktail videos.
It's fun.
And I just got so into it.
We've done that.
I've been making Mai Tais, man. I make the world's greatest Mai Tai right now. And it's come to the point now where I've had so many Mai Tais that if I catch a whiff of something that reminds me of the smell of it, or if something in my memory makes me think about it, I will taste it and I'll kind of be like, no thanks. I don't want a Mai Tai right now.
Too much sugar.
Too much sugar, too much booze.
Yeah.
Yeah, I just, it's like, I have to take a break from the cocktail making because it's like a thing where I'm like, I like to make the cocktail.
Mm-hmm.
It's so much fun to make, to shake it, to make
great.
It,
the little
and to
stir,
present
tink,
it,
tink,
everything.
Tink, 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 tink.
The whole thing, the whole like making of it, it's such a fun thing. And I was thinking about it earlier, it's almost like stand-up because you get to make this thing and present it, especially if you get to make a drink for someone else.
It's cooking booze.
Yeah.
You're making cookies, it's booze. And then you give them to someone and then you watch them taste it.
Yeah.
Huh?
That's good, huh? Like, oh, wow, this is really, oh, wow.
Yeah,
if someone else makes a cocktail for you, it's always better. But it's like, you know, they want to wow you with it.
Mm-hmm.
So it's like killing on stage. It's like fucking,
right.
I just killed it with that Mai Tai.
We have cocktails, I would say, now Monday, Monday, Friday, Saturday, Sunday.
That's a good amount. I
had to cut out alcohol completely. Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday.
Uh-huh.
For caloric purposes, also, just you feel terrible.
Yeah, because you don't get that same. If you're doing it at home, you end up drinking more.
Sure. Mm-hmm. You can have all you want. It's a buffet of liquor.
It's like drinking in a movie. You watch a movie, you can put down a couple beers, and then you stand up. You're like, oh, shit, I'm drunk.
Right.
But I didn't notice it because I was watching Mission Impossible 3.
Mm-hmm. And I love drinking at the movies.
Oh yeah.
Like whether I sneak in some beers, mm-hmm. we'll sneak in a bottle of wine in the lady's purse and a couple plastic cups.
Or I love the Arc Light where you get the movie pour and you get a big fat glass of
big
wine.
Big 24-ounce thing.
Glass of
a double pour of
double
wine.
Double pour, and it's topped off. They have no regulations on those on the workers at the Arc Light whatsoever.
Yeah.
You get a you get someone with a heavy hand. You get a bucket of wine for like $11.
I haven't had that happen. That sounds pretty good. $11 double pour.
Yeah. And damn. Then you go out in at in the middle of it, like you want another glass. Yeah. And you'll get to, the problem is you'll get to where the movie's going to end and you have way too much left. And now you're slugging.
Now you're slugging
like a whole
fucking
a full glass and
Chardonnay.
Yeah. And you, I walked out of the Arc Light like, oh my God. Like I spent $87 on
oh shit
between two people.
Oh yeah, you're right. It is expensive if you count the ticket price plus the booze and everything.
Grab a beer, they, a beer back on the way with the wine. Like I got this
back.
Too. We're having fun, aren't we? Yeah. Oh my God, I don't remember the end of this Star Wars movie whatsoever.
I've definitely done that. Something about the wine that really catches you. I did a trip back from San Diego on Amtrak. Once.
Oh, Amtrak drinking is the best.
It was the best, but I think I'm now done with it for a little while because I got so incredibly sick from that.
Yeah.
It was like food poisoning. I basically I drank so much Kendall Jackson Chardonnay.
Good choice.
Oh my God. I felt
excellent
so
choice,
bad.
Sir.
I was, when I got home, Britt was like, "Are you okay?" And I just, because I took the, I insisted on taking the Metro.
Yeah.
I took the Amtrak, took the Metro to North Hollywood from downtown, and then took a Lyft from there. I think I could barely get in that Lyft. I was like, you know.
Where were you coming from?
From San Diego. I was visiting my dad, who was at a hotel there for some conference thing. And I went down there, had lunch with them, and then had wine at lunch.
Yeah.
Took the train back afterwards. And then, you know, drank on the train ride, and then I think I transferred the rest of my bottle of wine I got on the train to a, like a, you know, a water vessel.
Sure.
And brought it and was drinking it on the fucking Metro. That's a 20-minute ride from Union Station
right.
to North Hollywood, and that's not including waiting. So it was probably another 40 minutes of drinking wine, and then I drank all that wine because I didn't want to waste it.
No.
That's a bad thing I do a lot. I think it's like a Midwestern thing is... I can't throw this, dump this out, even though everything in the world is like, just dump the rest of the wine out, you fucking idiot.
Right.
You don't need to finish a second bottle of Kendall Jackson today. You don't need to do that. But
no.
I don't want to waste the wine. I got to drink it all.
Yeah. What if I want it later? Like, what if I dump this out and I start to feel like I need to have more alcohol in me and I wasted it
instead of
Prolonging the bad feelings. you could have cut it off at the past.
Yeah, I don't know what that is. I think that's Midwestern. The idea of not dumping out booze.
Oh yeah, for sure. And that would go along with food also. Like eat clean your plate. You know, eat. Hey,
yeah.
Have another piece of pie. Don't eat all of the second piece as well.
That guacamole is brown, but you better eat it.
You better eat it. Scrape the brown off the top.
I've done it.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
I've done it, and I got really sick. I got very, very sick, actually. Yeah, I scraped the brown off the top. I also coupled that with about 3 craft IPAs one night. I was home alone.
Uh-huh.
Ate a ton of old guac. I don't know what it was, but I got so fucking sick, man. I had to go to the emergency room.
Oh, my God.
Yeah, because I couldn't stop vomiting and shitting.
Jesus Christ. Maybe you got botulism. Did you try?
Maybe
I did. Did you try and jar this can, this guac?
I should have. I should have saved it. I should have brought it in with me. You know that thing where when you get like, anytime something like if you get bitten by an insect, they want to see it or like the kind of whatever made you feel the way you do, you're supposed to bring it in so they can see, they can contact trace it, whatever. I should have brought that guac in. And be like, hey, this guac, check it out. Looking to do an inspection of my guac.
That's a good band name, Old Guac.
Old Guac? Oh, my God.
It's like Hot Tuna.
Old Guac. Dude, Hot Tuna is such a bad name.
It's so disgusting.
Hot Tuna. Or like Canned Heat. That's such a bad
name. Canned Heat.
I do love Canned Heat.
Sure.
That's a terrible band name.
I love...
I do love that train ride that you mentioned, by the way.
Oh, yeah. It's a nice train. It's beautiful.
I love taking that, and you'll go into Old Town, that Old Town stop, which is just basically...
In San Diego.
Yeah, San Diego. Yeah. It's a tiny town that consists mainly of 3 to 4 Mexican restaurants.
Mm-hmm.
And there's nothing I love better... Speaking of old guac, but there's nothing I love better than like taking a train... Going in for happy hour, having chips and salsa and a marg. You got your bag. It's just, there's like a college football game on or something. Just, I'll sit here forever. I don't need to go to whatever destination I was meant to go. I'll just go home after
this. The travel is the part.
Yeah.
When I had a day job years ago, my dream was when I quit, I was just going to ride Amtrak all day.
Mm-hmm.
Like every day, just take the Amtrak. I never actually did it, but that was like my dream, just to go, I'm going to go to Oceanside today.
Yeah.
And back. Or I'm going to go to San Clemente. Or I'm going to go to fucking... You can.
And people don't take advantage of it
very
often.
No, they don't.
And one of my pipe dreams is to take Amtrak all the way back to Michigan.
That will take you a long time.
It would take me a long time, but right now is a questionable time to be locked in a tuna can to travel.
It is.
But now would be the ideal time where you get on there with a laptop, you knock out a script... You know, you drink 45 bottles of Kendall Jackson Chardonnay, and then you hang out at home for a couple weeks, and then you get back on the train. Because I hate flying. Like, I have a deep, deep hate for flying. It's not pleasurable for me.
Why? Where did that come from, you think?
I didn't ever get on an airplane until I was, I think, 21.
Okay.
Or 20. Yeah. So, and also just gives me horrible anxiety, and I don't like the lack of control. Once I'm in the air and I got a couple of beverages in me, I'm fine. But I hate going to the airport, and I would rather sit on a train for 2 full days in quiet and peace than have to get and go to airport.
Yeah, I kind of, especially
going to the
now,
airport.
Too, the airport is such a thing where you feel like, to me, it's not the plane now, it's the airport. Because the plane is actually relatively safe because they have those strong filters in there. You know, it's kind of a controlled environment.
Yeah.
But the airport, that's a wild card because you got all these blends of, you know, you got these rugged Arizona Southwest passengers who are like, mask.
Right.
You know, that shit just mixed in with everybody. But the train, I could see that being a cool thing to do. Take the train.
Sleeping car.
Yeah, well, sleeping car. God, I wonder what that would be like right now. I wonder what the passenger load is like.
I don't know. I don't imagine that it's super jacked up with people, but you never know.
I want to look into it now.
It's around, I think you could do it. It might have been one way. It's at least 1,000.
It's not cheap.
It's not cheap.
Yeah, it's actually more expensive than flying.
But like you said, it's the experience. It'd be like, I've got some free time right now, and I'm just going to peacefully look out the window and read some magazines and a book and just zone out for a week. And it sounds pleasurable.
I think it would be kind of nice.
With a sleeping cart, you're pretty tucked away by yourself.
Yeah, they must have. I got to look this up now because I want to research this. This might be, I haven't thought about this at all, but I think I have to do this now. Find a way to take a trip somewhere on the Amtrak and go. That will be the way to go.
Go to Seattle, you know, just hang out. But then again, all the fun that you want to have, part of a train trip is going to the bars, going to the restaurants. I'm going to get oysters here. And now, like, the fun has been sucked out a lot of that stuff, even though like you can still do it safely. It's just,
it's not the same because you have to be so on guard about everything.
Yeah,
that's what really gets me, is just the feeling you have, as opposed to, you can't just be loose and relax with something. You have to be, everything is like, it's like being OCD or something.
Right.
Everyone's OCD now,
and some people are not. So there's got to be a happy medium. That's what I subscribe to. Like, there's not, some people are ultra sensitive, and some people are completely, COVID does not exist.
Yeah.
And I think you have to find a happy balance where, look, you can, people are like, you can't go outside. Don't ever leave your house.
Yeah.
You can go outside. You can go for a walk. When you're by yourself, you could take your mask off.
Hell yeah.
But we have to have these hard, line drawn in the sand lines of you have to do this, because some people can't wrap their heads around making rational decisions.
Yeah.
So it's just, you have to do this at all times, and it freaks people out, turns off the people that don't want to wear any sort of protection on their face. So, but if everyone's just like, hey, man, just be cool about it. Can you just be a person?
It feels like it's getting better.
It is getting a little better.
Yeah.
I did get screamed at, though.
Where?
Last weekend in Atwater.
Okay.
You know where the Dunkin' Donuts is over in that area?
100%.
I was going into the, there's that one coffee shop, and sometimes I'll dip.
Proof Bakery?
Next to Proof, I'll dip into that out of the closet. My one of my habits is I go in there and look at the vintage glassware.
Wait a second. You like vintage stuff?
Absolutely, yeah. A little bit.
That was a sarcasm.
No.
Right.
But I love nothing better than going in and be like, ooh, Milwaukee Brewers 1985,
yes.
You know, like something like that. Yeah. So I consistently go in there with my coffee. I do a run through, bang, 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 bang. If something's, I grab the glass. It's a finite commodity. I'm happy as a pig and shit. I take it home, wash it, and I'm. I was going in there.
Costs a dollar.
Mm-hmm. You feel like you, for me, it's like buying a new car, but for it's
for
just
nothing.
It's just a Oakland Raiders tumbler,
right?
And I'm so happy. I'm going in there, and some dude almost tackled his wife because there's this line in front of Proof. So there's a lot of people. It's a little congestion.
Yeah.
And his wife was kind of in the area of the line, and he wraps her up, shoves her up against a wall, looks over at me and says, no, that's close enough. And
what
I go,
the fuck?
And I said, excuse me? He goes,
you didn't have a mask on?
I don't. Oh, I was, yeah, mask on. I'm
oh,
I'm
that,
always.
That's a guy who is having some problems.
He was looking for it, and I said,
Jesus.
Excuse me? He goes, you heard me, ass. I go,
ass? Not even asshole?
No. Just
ever said ass?
Just ass.
Ass.
And I said, sir, you have a good day. You know, just like, I'm not doing this with you.
God.
And there's a whole line of Proof Bakery, so I immediately feel on the defensive of, look, guys, it's not, I didn't do anything. Please, everyone put your phones away.
Jesus
I do not need to be put on blast on Twitter at PizzaNacho69, spit in my wife's mouth. I'm like, what are you talking about? I was just going in to get one of my vintage glasses.
That shit's insane. It's people, there's so many people who were, that guy was probably like a first AD or some sort of crazy, hard, constantly busy job. Now he doesn't have any work. So he's like, he's trying, or maybe he was like a horse trainer or something. Who knows what the fuck he was doing? He was something where he's using everything and now he has nothing to do. So he's like trying to control. That's what I think so many people are wigging out about is that they like don't have this thing they used to have that would take up brains, energy, and space. And now they're like fucking trying to do everything they can.
Yeah. People need. They need it. Some people want it so
like
bad.
Border collies, you know? Like a border collie goes nuts. We didn't have a bunch of sheep to herd.
I got to run around,
crazy.
Guys. I've got to. You've got to let me go run around.
If you don't run me for 4 hours a day, I will destroy your kitchen.
I'm used to managing 20 people a day, and I scream at them on set all day long. Yes. And I can't do that anymore.
Back to one. We're on the move. Wheels up.
So, yeah, that's the first time I've been on the – and, again, I'm very – I mean, I rode my bike over here, and like when I'm on the bike trail, I pop the mask on. When I pass another person, it's not hard.
It's not hard at all.
And it's not, again, it's not that I'm wholly concerned where I'm zipping around going 15, 20 miles an hour. We're fine. But I don't want that other person to feel fear or any sort of like I don't want them to feel off. I don't want their day to be ruined if they're an extremely sensitive person. And that's all this, any of this is just being a human being.
Just being polite. As people, I'll have a mask on. I'll be on the bike path or something. And if someone does it, I'm like, well, you know, what are we going to do?
Right.
It's just, they don't have it on. We're in the open air.
I'm fine.
It's fine.
I'm fine. Yeah.
Yeah, it's crazy how it just goes both ways. People are just so wigged out about everything, but it's weird how much we talk about this. Everyone talks about this all the time.
Even now, I'm like, why are we talking about this?
It's just so hard not
to get suckered into it
because it's just like it's like not. It was raining right now. We're just sort of ignoring it raining.
Uh huh.
It's like it's raining.
Yep.
But we live in Seattle now. Look at that huge ass bug.
Wow, those are those June bugs.
I think that's even bigger than a June bug. That's one of those scarab beetles.
Is that what they're called?
Yeah, well, I guess I asked someone about it. I guess scarab is a common term. There might be one of these things called a California fig beetle.
Mm-hmm.
Because they, oh, there it is. It's right over your head right now. Just
oh, they're so big. It'll, they'll get so up loud. In your, they'll get right up in your face, like right here.
Yeah.
And they're just like, hey, hey, will you kill me, please? I weigh 50 pounds. I can't control my body. Please kill me.
I'm like a Sikorsky helicopter.
They're completely harmless, but they're the size of a hummingbird.
So big.
Terrifying.
Yeah, they're the size of like a, what is that? Like the size of like a
quarter?
Kumquat?
Kumquat,
ooh,
yeah.
That's a good size, or a kumquat.
How about one of those, like those little grape tomatoes?
Yeah.
Like the nice
grape
ones.
Grape tomato?
Yeah.
Or the size of like a young man's testicle.
A young man's testicle,
I'm
yeah.
I'm trying to think like, maybe what my testicle, I don't know. Because your testicles are not perfectly round.
No.
I'd be fun. I wonder if a lot of people don't know that.
Hmm.
You know what I mean? Because there's a lot of stuff about human sexuality and biology that someone's like, there's stuff that I learned when I was younger, like, oh, that's true?
Mm-hmm.
To think that your balls are not balls.
Right.
Yeah, they're not like fucking perfect balls.
If you wanted to bounce one, it'd be all over the place.
Ugh.
It'd be like one of those, it'd be like those bouncy balls, but one gets kind of oblong or something.
Yeah, so it goes all over. Like, it's like the kind of thing you chase as a practice.
Uh-huh.
When they hit you a ground ball, it's like a grounder.
My balls are shaped like circus peanuts, Johnny. I don't know if that's TMI, but
so you got one ball?
Yeah, it's like a kind of a mashed in the center.
Okay.
Kind of like a chicken gizzard.
Who knows
what
happened?
Yeah, I don't know.
Maybe one of those tubes wrapped around it in an early stage, and now it's just like, you got two circus peanuts.
Trying to hang
cool.
itself.
Yeah. Hang itself in the sack, and it didn't work. There's not enough gravity.
Right.
Before, when it went up sometime, and then it came back down, and it got caught. Now it's that thing.
It got stuck.
Got snared.
It got stuck like in that one movie, the guy has to cut his arm off. In the cave.
127 hours, but for a testy?
Your testy got snagged and had to mush itself out. Now it's oblong.
Yusk. Yusk.
I'm always fascinated that, not fascinated, I guess I wish this would have happened in school more often. It's, you were completely focused on human biology.
Right.
The lack of knowledge I have about what goes on inside my body is astounding for how important it is.
Oh yeah.
Shouldn't I have more interest in that? Like, shouldn't I be reading about like all the stuff that's inside of me and trying to understand how my body works instead of this vessel that I walk around in? I don't know shit about it.
Or maybe it's the opposite. If you knew so much about it, you would be like super
freaked out.
Oh my God, don't do this. Oh, don't do that because it might upset the equilibrium of my esophageal phalange.
I do have a bit of hypochondria. And
you do?
I don't like to know stuff. You know, like going to the doctor, like they're like, well, if you go to the doctor, he's going to tell you everything's okay and then you'll feel better afterwards. I'm like, no, I feel stressed because you got to get some tests done and then I got to wait for the blood tests when you get a physical, and then what if something's wrong? It's like, I'd rather maybe just not know, and then one day I'll just kind of keel over watching a baseball game. And
that's like an old school grandpa thing.
Yeah.
Is you go to the doctor, you want to get sick? Go to the doctor and find out.
It's so ignorant.
You want to get sick? Well, you're not sick until you know you are. All the doctor does is tell you what you already don't know.
Yeah, yeah. You know, like a lot of times you'll catch something at the doctor too. Like,
oh, that's actually real though.
My friend Benny Josephstein, he was fine, and he went in. He saw the doc,
fine.
Routine physical. He came out, kidney failure.
Mm-hmm.
He caught it.
You're telling me that had nothing to do with that? Okay, sure. Okay, I got a bridge to sell you.
And they will tell you things.
You're telling me that him going to the doctor was what didn't make him sick? Yeah, well, that's a bunch of malarkey right there.
Malarkey.
Tell you what, you know, we were up in Escanaba last week. Everything was fine. Next thing you know, you go to the doctor and he tells you you got a lump. Didn't feel that. I felt that lump my whole life, and now it's cancer?
Yep.
Okay, it wasn't cancer before.
Yep. You put a label on it, and before it was just lump, and now it's a disease. And if you would have just not told me any of that, the lump would have just gone on thinking he was just a lump.
Why did you gotta tell me that?
And the lump's trying to show off now.
Trying to tell me that I'm sick, and I know I'm not sick, and now I know, and so I can't go out fishing now.
So that's the concern.
That's the concern. Now I know I gotta do it. So my body.
Well, the doc said it's because I've been eating too many crappie. They're like they're bottom feeders, and they got a lot of lead and other poisons in them. The crappie fish, and I smoke them, and they're supposed to be fine.
Smoked crappie.
Now I got lumps. Now I got all these lumps.
So now I gotta go walleye fishing now, because these bullhead are easy to catch.
Bullhead,
At the dam, we catch rip a bunch of bullhead out, no problem.
Boy, those are fun to catch. I'll tell you, they put up a fight. Wowie, wow.
God. Crappie. What's their name for crappie? Bullhead. Something else they call them. Crappie.
Suckerfish.
Suckerfish. It's not musky. That's the big sport fish, right? Musky's the pike. Type of a pike, a musky.
Pike had those teeth.
Yeah.
Yeah, those will get you.
Oh, look out. Whoa. We caught a pike ice fishing last winter.
Yeah, that's when you get them.
Pike.
That's when you get them.
Those are hard to cut, though, because they got them Y bones.
Mm-hmm. You got to eat those with bread, because your bones get in your throat. You got to have white bread.
Really? Is that a thing?
That's a thing with a lot of those crappy.
No way.
Those real garbage fish.
Perch?
Perch, not so much.
Perch can nice.
You can fillet. I love a perch dinner. Can't beat it.
Shore lunch?
Yeah, yeah. But a lot of those fish, they're so filled with bones, and they're such crummy fish that you got to smoke them.
Right.
And I remember when I was a kid, my grandpa would smoke all those fish, and then you'd have to eat it with, like, Wonder Bread, because when the little bones get snuck in your throat, the bread, like, snags it and pulls the bone out, so
terrible.
Yeah, and that was apparently fine.
Like, what was your grandpa's name?
Ken.
Ken.
William Ken Rupp.
Was he like, was he any sort of distinct ethnicity or just sort of a bunch of stuff?
White guy.
White, but was he
German.
Maybe there's a lot of Finnish people in Michigan. I remember hearing that.
He was very, very German.
Just an old German guy.
Yeah, yeah.
That's funny.
Yeah, third generation, maybe second.
Eating them smoke fish.
Oh, yeah. Oh, it tasted so good when I was a kid.
Yeah.
You grew up in that sort of arena. Do you have an adventurous palate like I do because of that? Ooh, it's hummingbird. Look at that.
Oh, yeah. They're everywhere. I mean, adventure palate, like for food?
Well, like some people are picky, but like because I grew up in Michigan with people that, had farmers in the blood,
right.
Everyone ate everything. So I ate a lot of, I would eat head cheese and smoked fish and sardines and that sort of thing.
Those are all things I love.
Yeah.
So I guess so. I do like a lot of stuff. There's a lot of stuff I do like because we didn't have it growing up. Like we didn't get to have, not get to, it was more like it just, we didn't, my mom didn't make a lot of weird stuff, you know? I always like eating something that's weird and new.
Absolutely.
I do like that quite a bit.
And I think that's because some people don't grow up with that sort of food at all. But in colder climates where people were not always well-to-do, they used and ate everything.
Mm-hmm.
And
it's weird how a lot of those foods now, a lot of these foods that were traditionally poverty foods have become
peasant foods.
Yeah, peasant foods. They've been all this stuff has been up-marketed.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I don't know what you call it, but like, you used to be able to get like a chuck roast for nothing.
Right.
And make your Irish roast or Irish stew.
Yeah.
But that stuff has all been, it's all been like kind of made to be nice now.
Or a little spendy now.
Yeah, it's all spendy. Or certain types of pork products, right?
Yeah.
Used to be like the pork bellies was not a nice thing. It's like a big old fatty piece
of meat.
Fatty
junk, yeah.
It's the belly. It's low on, it's like this thing where it's not nice. And now it's like this luxury thing.
Mm-hmm.
So many, or even like gumbo. Like I like to make gumbo. And gumbo is trash. It's like you got a bunch of stuff.
You're going to get some hate mail.
Well, I mean, I love
it. Take out of context. You're going to get canceled by the gumbo.
You got canceled by gumbo because you called gumbo trash.
Big gumbo took Johnny down.
I was saying I love to make it. I love it. But it's essential. Or crawfish. Crawfish are 100%.
Bugs.
That is true poverty food.
Right.
You get these
bugs
out of the fucking water because it's in the water near where you live and they're free. If they're not free, you buy them from a dude who sits on the side of the road smoking Winston's.
Yeah.
And like you buy them for $10 a bag. and you make them and you boil them because you'll need the cheapest stuff to make a good thing.
You need fire and water in a vessel. Yeah.
And some potatoes, some lemons you picked from a tree.
Right.
And potatoes are the cheapest vegetable. And maybe you get some like garlic if you're lucky. You don't need a whole lot.
No.
And you make all the thing that's really good. And it's super cheap, but there's always things that are being, you know what the word is? Elevated.
Mm-hmm.
They're getting elevated. And it's weird because all these things that taste so good are just, it's just like famine or poverty food.
It's years of whereas like a wealthy food, let's say a cut of steak, like a tenderloin.
Filet mignon.
Where you're just, you cook it and you just eat it with a little salt. And it's,
yeah.
But when you have things like crawfish or cheaper cuts of meat, mm-hmm. for years and years, people were desperately trying to make that taste better. A lot of it was also, it was old meat, so that's where you get a lot of those
barbecue.
Those sauces cover up mm-hmm. the little funk on something that was a little past its prime. Not necessarily bad for you, but it was a little gray. It's getting
totally
gray.
It's not great. And that's the whole thing about barbecue. Barbecue is quintessentially, that's what that is.
Tough cuts.
It's tough cuts. It's stuff that's like, how do we cook this so it makes it good?
Because mm-hmm.
we can't get the good stuff.
Yeah.
You make barbecue, and now there's no one in their right mind who'd turn their nose at barbecue.
Right.
Even though barbecue, like 100 years ago, you'd be like, what is this you're having? I think this is absolutely hideous.
Rubbish.
It's covered in some sort of brown sauce. It's smoked in the ground, you say. In the ground. You smoke it in the ground with pickles.
You cut a tree down and saturated this. What is this smoke ring?
Oh, smoke ring?
Do you smoke? Is this cigarettes?
Absolutely terrible. Hideous.
Terrible at that accent.
Oh, these poor folk here are dithering around cooking hog in the ground, I say. Oh, no, thank you. I will not have a hog cooked in the ground here. No, sir. Catfish? What is this?
Catfish? It's half cats.
Oh,
disgusting. You eat cat meat.
I believe we'll have a bit of swordfish, please.
I did, in the crock pot on Sunday, a 4-pound pork shoulder.
Damn. What'd you brine it with there, huh?
I did it just really simple, just mm-hmm. black pepper, salt, black and pepper, garlic, salt, because my
fresh garlic, whole, we're talking about here, sliced?
We're talking garlic powder,
and
one onion.
Mm-hmm.
And
white onion, yellow onion,
onion? Just a yellow onion, okay. Just a yellow onion chunked up.
Right.
And I've been doing that because it makes a more generic pork taste. It's just really rich pork taste, and then that became tacos last night. And then on Thursday, that'll become chili verde, where I'll add in the seasonings to the shredded pork. Yeah.
So chili verde is outstanding.
Mm-hmm.
Also, the way you said tacos is really, that's something that people don't know about.
Tacos?
The way you said it first.
Tacos.
Was really tacos.
Tacos.
Tacos. That's something that a
Midwestern
lot of people
tax.
California are like, what'd you say? Tacos.
Tacos. I'm a big fan of Midwestern tacos because it reminds
me. Oh, God.
Like with the crunchy shell, and then tomatoes and sour cream and cheese and lettuce.
Bad lettuce.
And ground, iceberg lettuce shredded up
mm-hmm.
and ground beef and like Taco Bell bottle sauce
or
La Victoria, what have you.
I can eat maybe 7 of those.
You're bang, bang, bang.
God.
But they're very Midwestern, mm-hmm. that whole entire style. And someone from a Texas connoisseur or someone of Mexican descent who loves specific street mm-hmm. tacos.
Wouldn't even recognize it.
People get hot over that. I have Texas friends who are like, dude, I can't. Like, I want to rip into you. I want to rip you, but we're friends. And I just, it's a shake my head situation.
You ever go to Jack in the Box or Del Taco?
On occasion.
Do you ever get the Jack in the Box traditional tacos?
I have, yeah.
Those, to me, are almost as good as your typical Midwest taco.
Complete trash also.
Absolute trash, but I'll tell you what. I have them for dinner probably about twice a month, and I do not feel bad. I feel good.
Mm-hmm.
If I have five of those tacos,
yeah.
Something about them, maybe it's probably because they're extremely processed, and it's like basically like eating, I don't know, like eating the food they have on the space station.
Right.
Probably.
Right.
It sits well with me.
Yeah. I'm a Taco Bell guy.
Yeah.
Of those three. Like, I love Taco Bell.
You never try out Del?
I have a Del. Yeah. I have a Del in the neighborhood.
I like Del. I prefer Del.
That
I mean,
do
I grew
like,
up with Taco Bell.
I did drift into Del. I was doing Del for a long time.
Right.
And then I'll go back to Taco Bell because I don't eat so much of it anymore. There was a time when I was getting Del Taco.
Oh.
I go to the Roost and I grab Del Taco afterwards the way home, and then and you can get at Del Taco for like $7 to $8 a 50-pound bag of everything, and you come home and dump it out
you
on the table.
Rich.
It is a mound of food.
Yeah,
Del Taco groceries, because I'll get those extra bean burritos. I'm like, I'm gonna want these tomorrow. They microwave just fine, mm-hmm. Johnny. I'll tell you what. Oh, you gotta give that. Yeah,
I've tried to save. Drunkenly saved the hard tacos from Del.
That doesn't work.
And Britt will be like, "You're not gonna want those tomorrow. I might want them. They go in the trash the next day, guaranteed."
Yeah, they.
You can't have that.
They're
again.
Not the same beast that went into the refrigerator when you unwrap them the next day. Real tough. Real tough shell on those.
I gotta have some tacos now, I think, for sure. Soon. I gotta have tacos very soon.
Mm, yeah. You always gotta have tacos really soon. Tacos is, you always want tacos.
Yeah. I had a buddy, my buddy Phil would visit from Minnesota, and we would go to the taco trucks. This is like maybe, a while ago, like 8 years ago.
Yeah.
And he would eat 4 or 5 tacos at every taco truck we'd go to. We would go to we'd hit up like 5 of them. In
got
a
that
night.
Midwest appetite.
Oh, yeah. And they were so good because you couldn't get Al Pastor in Minnesota back then.
Oh, sure.
And Al Pastor is, it's one of the greatest flavors that exists.
Right.
And he would take down 3 or 4 every place we'd go.
Easy to take down. Real small portion for Midwestern mm-hmm. appetite again. Those are like, what are these? Appetizer tacos?
Yeah.
2 bites, 3 bites?
We used to call it stunt eating.
We showing off.
Oh, yeah. So we did it one time. We went to one of those conveyor belt sushi places, and we basically went with the idea of who can eat the most sushi.
How many plates can you get stacked?
Yeah, I think we stacked up. I don't know what it was, but he won, obviously.
Sure.
But it was, even then we stopped. He was like, "Pemberton, I think I could have had more."
Yeah.
I probably could have had some more, but, it's getting expensive, so.
Yeah, that's if you have to stop eating because it gets too expensive, that's a bad sign.
Oh, God. You hear about that guy, the buffet buster? He's like some guy in England who goes to buffets and he like ruins them. He's some big fucking dude, gonna die soon.
That's great.
But he'll have like 4 or 5 piled high plates. And he will come in there. And he has a way he does it because he wants to get his money worth.
Sure.
So he doesn't eat any of the rice. He just goes straight to he just eats an insane amount of food. Like a kind of food where, it's ridiculous.
It's disgusting to watch those. Sometimes I want to see, there's videos on YouTube of people, I'm going to eat this whole pizza. It's not sexy to watch. It's dunking pizza in water and just slop shoveling it in. I really like that, the Man versus Food program, right. Which that I do enjoy. There's Casey Webb is the host now. It used to be another guy named Jonathan, I forget. He had to quit because of
dying.
Health problems. Yeah. Yeah. Casey Webb looks like he's really extra dying.
Jesus.
And you watch this show, just mouth agape. I watch it almost to enjoy the pain that this man has. And I don't feel it's not a productive way of teaching people how they should behave mm-hmm. in society. Every time it's like, why? You only make this show for me to make fun of the guy, right? Like, what's the point?
Or the idea is that, okay, this is the guy who does that. Everyone else, you can be good, but you just watch this guy be bad. He takes care of it.
It has to be horrible for his body.
Yeah.
At some point, this guy is going to pass away, and we all encouraged it. It's terrible.
Yeah. We did, but I don't know. Someone's got to do it, right? Someone's gonna do it,
right?
I
because
guess.
Like the hot chicken wing guys are only so interesting because it's just you're eating 6 chicken wings and it's not really a physical feat. It's just a pain tolerance.
Yeah.
But when a guy eats a 10 to 15 pound burrito.
Or eats 3 Chipotle burritos in 15 minutes.
Right.
Yeah.
And the fun part for me, what I enjoy the most in a Schadenfreudian way, is when the guy gets almost to the end. He just barely doesn't make it. And then ate like a
of a 15-pound burrito, ate 14 pounds of the burrito for no reason. For no reason. You didn't win. You didn't get a T-shirt.
You just didn't.
You didn't get shit. Now you're just sick. You got a paycheck for that show, and I understand that's important, you know, for everyone to get paid. But for me, the viewer, I just watched you destroy
almost
your body.
Almost do it. I watched,
to almost do it.
Like, do you ever watch those mukbang videos?
Explain.
Okay, so mukbang is basically like that. It's like, usually it's women, because I'm pretty sure there's like a sexual component to this, sort of like ASMR. Mm-hmm. You know, ASMR is basically kind of a there's some sort of sexual thing there.
Yeah.
I have to pee so bad. I have to pause it again.
Pause it.
Big time pissy day. Oh. Shit. It's just flowing. Yeah, so mukbang, right? Mukbang, it's when these people, they eat food, but it's like, it's similar to those shows because they're eating. The purpose they're eating is you watch them eat, but a lot of time they eat. He like a ton. Like, there's these ladies who eat these fucking giant lobsters the size of this table.
Yeah, like one of those 6-pound.
Oh, I'm talking like
market price. Definitely market price.
6-pound. That's like about what the claw weighs, man. These are like these gigantic deep ocean lobsters. Yeah. They're probably like 40 or 50 years old.
There's only like a couple that come up in the net once in a while, and they get sent to
this lady Janelle and fucking. Who knows where?
Mastros. Like, they get, like, two. Is that still a thing? Is Mastros still a thing?
It's not like it's a steak place,
steakhouse,
right?
Yeah.
These ladies, they eat them. It's an Asian thing, mainly. It's, like, usually, sometimes it's, like, Asian women who are doing it, and they seem almost like they are prisoners. But they eat the food, and it's, like, really gratuitous.
Mm-hmm.
And they're eating a lot of food. Like, more than a person can actually eat. Like, there's a lot of cuts in there. And you know, they're spitting it out.
It's being expelled from the body.
Yeah, they eat a bunch of it, but a lot of it you can't eat that much meat. It's not possible.
Is it like stuffed mouth situation? Is it like that? Like it's more really shoveling it in, or is it just eating it at a normal pace?
Eating it, but the big thing is you have a mic that's close to you, so you hear all these fucking. It's this thing. It's like a fetish thing, man. It's definitely a fetish thing. There's definitely people who they're doing a masturbate to this. You know it.
Yeah.
But it's also super gross. But like anything that's super gross is also just like, you know, all it takes is a little bit of weight one side to be super gross.
Right. Well, to be fair, I think most things that people masturbate to are super gross. Right. If you just took them just at face value.
Like, have you seen those things called gooey duck?
Yes.
It's that gooey duck is a common mukbang thing. And usually you see it with, it's like a young Asian woman.
It's
doing
like a dick fish.
It's a dick fish, and they smack it, and they do it like, oh, this is a woman, you know, she's.
It's a phallic food.
It's a dick.
Yeah.
And even sprays, too.
Yeah.
That stuff is just, ugh, it's so nasty.
I'm not familiar with
these. Well, now you know. Now you know.
I get the sound. The sound type, like I've seen where someone just opens like pop and then just pours it and it's just whoosh. Like what is this? And you look down.
Bought a house.
These, yeah, it's 22 million views. Like why do I work hard to try and create things,
anything
of substance for people to enjoy when you could just pour a blue raspberry Faygo into a glass, record it, and then take a sip, and then the money just keeps coming in.
Rolling in.
How do you even get, like, that big doing those things? I don't get how some...
I don't get it either.
Social media people... Like, there is some guy who's on, like, a TikTok guy. I don't know shit about TikTok. I know people do dances on it and stuff.
That's just the tip of the iceberg.
There's some snot-nosed little kid who makes, like, racist jokes and whatever.
Really?
Came up into one of my Twitter feeds.
Right.
Someone retweeted it. And this guy's 33 million followers on TikTok. And he's just some twerp who just says stuff. Like, why is... What clicked there for everyone to decide that this guy... was the one to watch. It's essentially the definition of what influencers are.
Right.
Or like someone, they just, the algorithm picked Steve
Chuckle Piss. He's a guy who wears a rainbow wig and eats gooey duck with his asshole. You're like, and then that guy's just rich.
Yeah,
it's very bizarre.
I don't know what it is. I feel like a lot of it is random. I think some of it also is the thing where it's consistency. Mm-hmm. Like that's all that person does.
Yeah.
And I think some of it is also this weird sort of, it's like telling a story in a specific way that maybe we don't understand it's being told that way. It seems like it's not specific, mm-hmm. but actually it's checking boxes in a way that you don't really see because it's like this weird new form of communication that
right.
is like so specific because all these young people are so media literate.
Yeah.
It's kind of like what I think about, like, maybe a few years ago, if you made a comedy video and you had it cut off on a joke at the end
yeah.
for effect, you would think it was funny, but someone older, or like a producer, would be like, why is it cut like that? It's like, because it's funny, because it's like...
Artistically, I think it's better this way.
He's, like, screaming, and it's being cut off, so you don't know what happens.
Right.
And it's kind of funny. Like, we want to see it.
Where's the button? Where's the end?
Right. But nowadays... You see tons and tons of videos that have that hard cut for effect. It's because all these kids are so fucking media literate that, like, you don't have to show something. You don't have to really put the camera on it because mm-hmm. their eyes are so trained to find everything in the frame. There's, like, a little thing. They see it. You can be so subtle now because the media literacy is so high. I think I definitely forget that a lot. I'm thinking like, are they going to notice that? Are they going to notice that? It's like, well, I'm noticing it. So sure as fuck, they're going to fucking notice. And if they don't, it's like, well, I guess that's just maybe a very small percentage of people who don't notice things and they have a hard life because they don't notice all kinds of stuff.
Right.
People just seems like people just notice stuff so much more now because we're so keyed into the media.
And it's just your eyes are focused, you know. Kids grew up on their phone.
Yeah.
Whereas a phone is newish to me. Like right. having a cell phone is...
It's not an extension of your body.
I didn't get a cell phone until I was, I'm going to say 99.
Really?
It was the first time I
Dude, you got
I
it before me. I got one like 2000. Oh, my God. I didn't have a cell phone until 2003 or 4.
Uh-huh. And kids now, when they're 9 years old, they have a cell phone that their parents buy for emergencies.
Right.
At least my buddies have bought their kids' phones, and I'm just shocked.
Yeah.
Like, they don't need that phone, but apparently society deems that they do. And I can only imagine if everyone at school has a cell phone and you don't, you suck.
I think there's like a kid out there. Oh, yeah.
You know.
There's got to be kids out there who are trying to be what's his name? Henry David Thoreau, the guy who wrote Walden.
Uh-huh.
I wonder if there's kids out there who are, like, turning their cell phone on airplane like, every day, like, just refuse to use it because they want to be, like, these, I don't know what you call that, like, you know, a minimalist.
Typewriter kids.
Yeah. There's got to be some hipster kids out there like that, like some 11-year-old mega hipsters who are just no phone.
You would think so because trends go that way with...
With everything.
Music and everything else, you know, like stripped down. No, my band's going to be an acoustic band. And
you're what's it called? It's not an aesthetic?
Aesthetic? Well, aesthetic?
I think there's a name for those folks like in India. They call them the aesthetics, the guys who like.
Sikh?
Well, the Sikhs, that's a different thing. Those
know the word. Okay. I don't know what either of those things mean.
The guys who like cover themselves in bone charcoal.
Oh,
like,
yeah.
Yeah, those guys.
Mm-hmm.
Like, there's sort of a version of that, probably, which is a kid not using a cell phone.
Yeah, I could see that.
Shitting in the street.
Oh, yeah, yeah. That goes hand in hand. You shit in the street, and you don't use a cell phone. But it is, like, the whole typewriter gag is real.
Yeah.
You know, like, the hipster thing, when you could go to a coffee shop in Echo Park, what have you. There's stories books.
Yep.
I went back there and I would go there to write almost every day, get iced coffee, support the local place. And every once in a while, there'd be like typewriter club and the whole thing would be like 10 people with typewriters. And you'd walk out there and I went there to have peace and quiet. And it was just like I was in a shooting range of literary fucking chaos.
Kind of makes me want to get a typewriter.
They're fun for 5 minutes.
But then you have to. I'm so bad at typing, though, so I don't think I can handle it.
There, it's a very difficult to type on a typewriter. Brooks Whelan. Oh, if you ever go over to the Brooks Whelan crib, he's got the typewriter, and the typewriter comes out when a few cocktails have been had.
Really? Well, for what? To write a poem?
Dude loves to use that typewriter.
That sounds about a Brooks thing.
It's a super Brooks thing. He'll write you like a letter and then hand it to you.
Hey, switch this letter. Hey.
Yeah.
Are you going to read it?
Hey.
Read it.
It says, Burns, you're super cool. Love your best friend, Brooks. And it's just.
Hey, you're super cool.
He loves it. And you'll know. Like, I'll come home and be like, oh, is it party time at the manor when I used to live with Brooks? And if you heard the typewriter going, or if I went to bed and then heard the typewriter start going, I'm like, oh boy, it's rock and roll time. Oh my God.
We should do a podcast, you, me, and Brooks, and we should do it after start at typewriter time.
I like that.
See what I mean? It's obviously be an experiment. We don't have to use it if it turns out to be bad, but
you never know.
Fun thing.
Maybe we have the typewriter sound in the background, I think. You could give it a newsroom feel.
Maybe we should do a cocktail cast. There's so many ideas for podcasts. Yeah, cockcast.
Oh God! Like, do you keep a like an idea document that you have?
Oh yeah.
Because I'm a very, and my girlfriend is driven insane by this, but I am a note person.
Yeah, I do a lot of that.
And I'm one of those. I'm an idea person all day long. It's Post-it notes and notepads and things, and I take all these scraps and then I transfer it into a Google Doc that I just have everything compiled. Then I can throw the pieces of paper away that clutter the apartment, and it's filled with podcast ideas, filled with and the daunting task of starting up a new podcast, and then you got to promote it.
Oh, everything about it.
Like, yeah, I can't. I got one. I can only do the one. Unless I have a co-conspirator that's going to take the brunt of it.
I'll do all the stuff you have to do, which is a ton of stuff.
It's so much.
Yeah, it is. It is. It's a modern phenomenon, but now it's especially weird because it's like there's nothing else to do, so you kind of have to.
It's just been a godsend. I'm so grateful that I made this decision now because it gives me an anchor towards, like, today after you're done. Do you have anything going on, or is this kind of
not really, though. Streaming now. I have a streaming schedule I set up Monday, Tuesday, Thursday. I stream for about 2 to 3 hours on Twitch.
Wow.
I'll do it as a character sometimes. Sometimes I think on Thursday I might just actually kind of sit out here and do like a garden tour and maybe like just do some ranting kind of thing. But I figure in a matter of time I will start to fall into a rhythm with it.
Yeah.
But otherwise, I don't have a whole lot to do. Everything I have to do is stuff I've set up, basically.
It's you, yeah.
Just checking here if this person's coming.
It's a lot of setting up your own, I need to get this done today.
How long have you been doing Power Moves podcast?
Over a year and a half.
Right.
This week will be the 100th episode.
Nice, man.
Yeah.
Ring.
But it gives me an anchor, and I haven't gotten into the Twitch thing yet. I have a Twitch account.
As anything. Well, you should just do it. You should do set up a weekly or some sort of a regular reoccurring time you do it. And
it's live.
It's live.
Does it exist after?
If you wanted to, yeah. It exists on video on demand, VOD on Twitch. You can also record it and download it from the VOD and put it on YouTube if you want.
Yeah.
So you can do whatever you want with it. You could have all the listeners to your podcast could tune in and watch it if they wanted to.
So it operates in a live capacity. Like, hey, if you're at 3 o'clock, I'll be here. If you want to turn it on,
Twitch is kind of like radio.
Because
for the most part, people don't stream for less than a few hours.
Mm-hmm.
And the idea is the bar is pretty low in terms of. It's not a low bar. It's more like it's not this onslaught. Like a stand-up show, obviously, is, it's an hour and a half to 2 hours, and it's nonstop entertainment. Mm-hmm. But a Twitch thing is a little more, at least how it is traditionally, it's not so much of a show as it is like
someone to hang out with.
Yeah, hang out with, and there's a lot of funny moments, but it's not like this thing where that's why you play games. So you play the games because you're watching someone play a game.
Right.
As commentary, or you're watching someone. It's basically just a lot of commentary. And I think that's what makes it able to be such a long, you can do such a, for some people stream for 10 hours, 12 hours, you know?
That's really interesting. I've been told you got to get on Twitch. And then sometimes I'll go and I'll look up the viewers on someone who I would consider to have a popular show. And the numbers are so low, I don't know if it's completely worth it.
I don't know. I mean, it just depends. It's all about consistency, I think.
That's what I think a lot of things are, is because it's newer that you, if you get in and just suck it up, you can have success. It's for later. It's just like Twitter. If you were to have really hit Twitter hard, like some dudes like Rob Delaney type guy who just banged on it and then were really good and funny and people liked it, all of a sudden you've got 2 million followers.
Right.
And that's the anxiety I get every time there is a thing like TikTok or Twitch. I'm like, which one do I pick? Should I just really dive into this? Because I'll be so sorry if I don't later on.
I guess it's just like what you want to do. I think about Twitch as, a replacement for stand-up because I'm not doing any stand-up shows.
Yeah.
It's just been a lot of time doing that. So if I'm not doing it at all, I might as well do something with that time other than making Mai Tais.
Yeah.
And so it's like, it's easy. It's not that hard to do. I mean, there is like a learning curve in terms of setting stuff up. You can also make it really robust and put a lot of bells and whistles into it, make it kind of complicated and fun and have like a look and a thing like that if you want to. But you don't have to, but you should, and you probably will do that anyways because anything you end up doing, you want to make it a thing you like. So
right.
But that's just my thinking. This is very new for me too.
I only just
started doing it.
I'll look further into this.
Check it out.
Yeah, Twitch, you say.
Twitch. You should Twitch.
Yeah.
The podcast is Power Moves.
With Mike Burns.
The man, his name is Mike Burns.
Yep.
Thanks for being here, man.
Thank you, Johnny. This is lovely.
Is there anything else you want to say? You want to, like, say anything?
Oh, no. I think we covered everything.
Yeah.
So go ahead, subscribe to Power Moves, and I think you'll enjoy it. You can follow me on Twitter at PizzaNacho69 and at DadBoner.
Oh, a classic.
Classic.
See ya. Boop.